This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today, one more day, with Cynthia Rutherford, who so grateful she's been able to be with us. Cynthia is a member of our staff at Renewal Ministries. She's the layout person for our newsletter, all the art stuff that comes out of our office. Cynthia's in charge of, very, very talented. But she's also been sharing with us this whole week her story, her journey from addiction to sobriety and really moving from darkness to light, which is the journey every single human being is on, and a step coming into the light of knowing God, knowing we're loved by God, finding our identity and our destiny in God. And it's been a very, very inspiring week. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I strongly encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You could listen to them on your computer or download them and put them on your iPod and listen to them when it's convenient for you. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Thanks, Peter.
So good to have you here. Thank you for being here. Well, you ended the program yesterday. It was interesting where we ended. You said that you had come to the Catholic Church for the first time, and the Lord touched you powerfully. You felt drawn, loved so much so that you decided to go into RCI, even though you never thought you'd ever come into the Catholic Church.
Never imagined in my life.
Yeah. And then as you're going through the process, you had some issues, you said, that are typical issues. Why don't we just pick it up there?
The issues that I had with the church, and which many of the people around me really couldn't answer, all sort of revolved around sex. And I know that these are common misconceptions about what the church teaches about abortion, contraception, premarital sex, stuff like that, homosexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the church teach about this? And there's a common misconception that Catholics are haters because we don't believe in these things.
You got big hang-ups, or Catholic Church is hung up on these things, uptight and led by a bunch of old celibates who can't, you know, all this kind of stuff, that somehow we don't have a balanced perspective and a healthy perspective on all these things.
Exactly. That is very unhealthy and uptight. And those were things that I was having a hard time reconciling during my time in RCIA. And I just didn't really feel like I was getting thorough answers it wasn't getting through to me. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to think maybe this isn't for me, because mm-hmm. I'm finding the loopholes here. Mm-hmm. Starting to think again, maybe I'm too smart for this. Mm-hmm. You know, I have questions that can't be answered. Well, around the time that all of these things were coming up, I came across a flyer at the church where I was taking RCIA that Christopher West was coming. And I had heard about this theology of the body that John Paul II had been doing. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. This seems like something that he's kind of placing right before me. So I better go and check it out. And it turned out to be this very small, sort of intimate speaking engagement in the library at Ave Maria Law School. And that was a night I will never forget. Everything that he spoke just blew me away. And everything he said, I knew instinctively that it was truth. There were no questions to be asked. When I left there that night, I understood. It all made sense. Mm. It all seemed so, it was just perfect. It all made sense. Mm. There was no question in my mind anymore that what the Catholic Church teaches is the truth.
Yeah, there are the misconceptions that drive people, but it's just the opposite of what people think, that it's somehow this narrow, backward, constricted, fearful, unhealthy attitude about human sexuality. It doesn't have the great insight of the enlightened sort of sexual revolution and liberated idea.
It's freeing.
Yeah.
It's liberating.
It is truly liberating, because it's nothing has the depth of understanding, the total understanding of the human person and the purpose and design and the beauty of human sexuality and family and marriage and all the rest of it that the church has.
And I highly recommend, if anyone has questions about these, and I know a lot of Catholics that mm-hmm. I've encountered have questions about this, if you really like a full explanation, Christopher West sort of does a theology of the body in layman's terms, mm-hmm. for beginners, it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's great stuff. And, you know, pray a little prayer to the Holy Spirit before you read it. And you will be enlightened. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the Christian vision of life and the Christian vision of human sexuality is that it's to be lived in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, empowered by God through grace, sacraments, and living in a community of people who live it and believe it. It's not, we're not meant to just do this on our own somewhere, but that's where the help comes from. It's a new life in Christ that we're called to live, and he reveals it to us and what it is. And so when people, before you come to the place where you can see that and experience God's help and God's plan and have faith and hope that it can be lived and all the rest of it as you see it, without coming to that place, it all seems so difficult and impossible and hard to understand. And you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I totally know what you're saying. And that's all the reason why I never in my life thought that I would ever become Catholic.
Yeah.
But once I found out the truth about Catholicism, it was irresistible. Hmm. I mean, I couldn't deny it anymore. Hmm. I knew it was truth, and it was the most beautiful thing I had ever heard.
Yeah.
And the love that God expressed for me personally was so also undeniable. I just couldn't refute what I was seeing and feeling and hearing. It was all so very real.
Yeah, and goodness, beauty, and truth were touching your life in a profound way that you're made to know that. You're made to live in that. And it was, the Lord was revealing more and more of it to you.
So obviously I came into the church, and a few years later I got married in the church. I got married to a friend of mine from work who I mentioned earlier in the week that what I realize now sort of evangelized me. The guy whose house burned down came to my house for dinner.
David.
Kind of got me to AA and then kind of helped me get to the church as well. We've been married for 7 years now, and we have 4 wonderful little boys.
What are their names? How old are they?
Francis David is 6, Benedict Charles is 5, Joseph Juniper is 3, and Isadora Augustine is 1.
Oh, great.
So we have a very busy, wild household full of little boys.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, and it's not at all what I had planned for my life. I still sometimes sort of wonder, who am I? I'm still, even though this has been happening for years, I still don't recognize myself with this transformation that has taken place in my heart and in my soul.
I go back to what you said a few days ago, that you knew the life you wanted to live. You had the nice apartment, you had the nice car, you had the nice job, you were able to do drugs every day, you loved to travel, and that's what you're going to do. You're just going to do that. I was going to be single, I'm going to be nice to myself, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to treat myself right, I'm going to do all these things. And that was, you think about how different your life is now, and the plan that God has for you is extraordinary, really.
And it's funny, because it's ironic that trying to live a life of holiness, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you before that it seemed sometimes that it was easier when I thought I was in control and when I didn't know better. Mm-hmm. When I didn't know God, there are times of doubt and times of struggle and suffering, but I wouldn't trade it really for the world. When it comes down to it, it's nothing that my relationship with God is nothing that I could ever give up.
We've talked a fair amount off the air to just the journey of, you know, the Lord gives us, and you gave examples, you know, during the week, times and seasons where he just shows himself to us in different ways and through different signs and things that are just, you told some amazing stories that are just undeniably personal and real and present and life transforming for you. And those carry us for a while, you know, and we bask in those and I'm on the right track. This feels good. And then another dimension of life, he pulls back a little bit, you know, and lets us experience our brokenness, the reality of human suffering, you know, the human condition, struggles that cause us, it causes us again to make a deeper decision to press in faith and to stand on what we know is true, not just stand on the constant experience of direct reinforcement from him that we can see and touch and feel.
And feelings. It's not feelings. Always, it doesn't always feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to move us to the old little train. I remember seeing they had when I was in college, I saw this little diagram, little train said fact, faith, feeling. We turn it around the other way, where the engine is the feeling. That's what makes us feel like it's real, instead of the fact of God's love, the fact of God's revelation, the fact of his total commitment to you. It's just a fact, whether you feel it or not, that you belong to him, that his son died for you because he loves you, mm-hmm. that you're made in his image and likeness, that your destiny and identity is found in him, and that he's giving you a kingdom, and he will never fail you, forsake you, he'll never abandon you. Those are just facts, and he wants to teach us how to learn how to bank it all and stand on those facts, because our tendency is always to say, it's real if I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel it, it's not real.
It's easy if you feel it. It's just easier when you feel it.
Yeah.
But I've noticed over time that I need these struggles, and mm-hmm. I need these times of sort of spiritual dryness, mm-hmm. sort of to prove my love to him, mm-hmm. in a way, to prove to him that he's my God, and to remember that I'm his beloved, because that's what he did in the beginning of my relationship. As I always say, that he was wooing me, and that's what I found, is that I'm loved by him.
Yeah, that's where the lives of the saints help so much, because they help me transition from living it more in a more experiential level of saying, oh, okay, the Lord, I feel him, I know he's present, because I'm having all this reinforcement. And then when it's not there, you kind of feel like you're walking out there on your own and you're alone. That's simply not true. But we feel it so strongly that mm-hmm. our feelings are reality, or is God's truth reality? And so I often look at going into Mass here in the chapel, seeing Jesus crucified. There was nothing in Jesus' experience that said, hey, everything's great, you know?
It's all being
reinforced. And there he is giving us the witness and the model to say, and he's saying to the whole world, he's destroying the big lie that began in the garden, which is that God is not trustworthy. God has something up his sleeve. God's holding back, or God doesn't exist, or whatever it is. He's saying, no, with his whole life, he's telling us on the cross, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. In God's will is where you will find your hope. In God's will is where you'll find your life. And obeying the Father is the way to absolute total freedom. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what you might feel, it's all going to transition. He has your life in his hands. Oh, how could that be, Jesus? You're being stripped, mocked, you're bleeding, you're hanging naked on a cross, your friends have all left you.
Yuck.
Wait a minute, where is your God? That's the great temptation
mm-hmm.
that came down on Jesus.
Save
the
yourself.
Same, it's the same temptation that comes to us. There you go, girl, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great temptation. We have 45 seconds left. Would you like to say anything or end with a prayer or anything? It's been such a good week.
I think in closing, I would just like to say, if anyone is struggling with their relationship with God, just say the most simple prayer that you can say and just surrender and ask him. Ask him to be your God. Ask him to show himself who he really is to you. And he will. He did it for me. And I know that he'll do it for you. Amen. I've seen it happen to others.
Cynthia, thank you. It's been a great week, and I'm really grateful for your being here and sharing what you had to share. You honored the Lord so, so beautifully. Lord, friends, have a wonderful weekend. Walk with God. He's with you. He knows you. He loves you. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.